irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello! Welcome to the Question Reality Radio Show. I'm Priscilla Leona, producer and host of this show, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Now, for 14 years, we have been providing our audience with entertainment industry career advice. And this show is for you if you are questioning your career reality. You see how I put that in there? That's very clever. If you're questioning your career reality about pursuing a career in show business, a lot of people do that. You know, you think you want to be in one occupation, you move out here from Poughkeepsie, or wherever you move from, and you go, I want to be a star. And then you find out how hard it is to become a star, the hard work, the dedication, the this and that. Not saying you didn't have it before, but something may happen along the way to the forum, so we don't know. So then you start questioning your career, like, do I really want to stay here? Do I want to continue being an actress? Well, a lot of times you find that while you're pursuing a career in show business, you see other occupations or professions that are more interesting. And you say, oh my gosh, I want to be a director. I want to be a producer. I want to do this. And it's a complete career change. So that happens a lot in this industry. So if you are pursuing your reality, then in show business, or if you're already working in the entertainment industry and you just need some tips, advice, or resource information about how to elevate your career status, this show is for you, because the guest on the show, that is part of what they do. And some of the guests that have been on our show include Emmy Award winners, Grammy Award winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, just a wide variety of working show business professionals, such as film and television, music and radio producers and directors. We have casting directors. We have literary agents, casting agents, PR agents. We have talent managers, screenwriters. We have publicists, actors, of course, comedians, singers, novelists, script supervisors. We have stunt people. And we also have entertainment lawyers. And then the list just continues. So if you missed any of our shows in the 14 years, here are three ways that you can listen to any of them. Number one, free mobile app. We are obviously on the App Store and the Google Play Store. Go there, LA Talk Radio. Download the app. We're also on iHeartRadio. We're on iTunes, Amazon Podcast, Google, Audible.com, Stitcher.com. Just type in LA Talk Radio, you'll find us. Lastly, the archive page of the LA Talk Radio website. So the website that you're listening to us on now, you can listen directly from this website, and you just look for the show title, which is Question Reality, or you can look for my name, Priscilla Leona, under the host tab. And lastly, we ask you to do us a little itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini favor, and that is, please subscribe to our podcast via the Apple Podcast, and please give us a like and a follow on all of our social media pages. We're on, of course, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, TikTok, YouTube, you name it, all the top bananas. We're on all the top bananas. Just type in my name, Priscilla Leona, PRISCILLALEONA. You say, why Priscilla Leona instead of Question Reality? Well, that goes into my tip of the day. Branding, 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 branding. Okay, when you're starting out in any business, not just show business, but in any business, you have to think about your brand. You have to think about your name. You have to choose something that's catchy, or it has to be something that is going to represent you long term. What is going to have staying power in your career? Well, I particularly chose a name. because my name will always be with me, Priscilla Leona. So that is why. So think about it. It's very important. When people go to find you now, they go to Google. And most likely, if you met a person at a party, you're trying to network market, they're going to remember your name. So they're going to go to Google and they're going to Google you. And if you are under some little cute name, like I can't even think of anything cute right now, but it's my job, yo, or yo, 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 baby pop, you know, something like that, but they're not going to find you. And people have 10 second attention spans these days. So they're not going to spend time. It's like next, and you've lost whatever it is you were going to gain. You might've lost it. So finally, if you want to be booked on our show to promote and showcase your talents, current upcoming projects or products, and also help listeners by providing, again, much appreciated entertainment industry career advice, please go to our official website. Now you got to listen. Here comes that 10 second attention span. People, listen. QuestionRealityRadioShow.com is where you have to go. QuestionRealityRadioShow.com, not the website that you're listening to us on now, which is obviously LATalkRadio.com. This is where we air the show. But if you want to submit, you have to go to our official website. Again, QuestionRealityRadioShow.com, and that is where you can submit. You can also see the guest schedule. We have the annual guest schedule with the name of the person, their occupation, their website, so you can check them out. And you might want to go there just to take a peek at who the upcoming guests are, because it might be an occupation that you're interested in. So again, to submit to be booked on our show, just click the contact link. Really, really easy and short. We just need your name, email, title, and website. And that's it. All right, now on for the fun part of the day. Of course, that was fun for me. Can you imagine saying that for 14 years every Sunday? I mean, and do you know what? This is why I never became an actress. If I had to, right now, if my life depended on it, and I had to read my intro, I mean, thank God I have it like memorized, because if I had to memorize another one, I don't think I could be able to do it anymore. It's just, I'm telling you, time will rip your memory to bits. My goodness, it's crazy. That's why all you young people, you don't realize. So most young people don't realize that as you get older, your brain deteriorates just a little bit and you have a hard time memorizing those lines. I think we just read an article where Michael J. Fox just announced that he cannot, he won't take any parts with like over a sentence or a paragraph. He just can't do it anymore. And, I think Robert De Niro isn't doing it either. Anyway, let's move on to our guest today. He is, first of all, he's a very handsome man, as I got several comments from my social media sites. They said, wow, he is so handsome. Well, you know, I try to make it a priority. Only book the hot men on my show. No, it's not true. All can apply. No, but he's a very, very, very impressive man. His name is Dan LaPre. He is a producer, a director, a screenwriter, an actor. And as a producer, he produced a nationally released feature film called Just Let Go. I think that should be a motto for all. Just let go. And it starred Emmy Award nominee. Oh, my gosh. Now, when I found out that this guy was starring in that film, I nearly lost my mind. My husband and I are huge fans of Emmy Award nominee Henry Ian Cusack. Yes, from the hit TV shows. And we watched just about, gosh, he's done so much work, but our favorites were MacGyver, The 100, Scandal, Lost. I mean, all you'd have to do is see this man's photo in you. Oh, my God. Yes, yes, yes. So I was very excited to talk to Dan about how he met him and find out the details. Get the scoop. Also starring in Dan's film, Just Let Go, is Golden Globe winning actress and Academy Award nominee Brenda Vaccaro. And Brenda Vaccaro, oh my gosh, I think I first saw her in Midnight Cowboy. She played, oh God, it's, oh, that's like going back. Maybe, oh God, I can't remember now. It'll come to me. Serena or Cynthia, oh geez, now it's just going to drive me crazy the rest of the day. But Dan also produced the soundtrack for the film, and it features various artists, including Elaine Bradley from Neon Trees and Ryan Ennis from NBC's hit TV show The Voice. And Dan is signed with talent manager Jeff Arceo of Gig Productions. And this is a firm that specializes in talent management, live events, film and TV production. And his PR rep is one of my favorite Scorpios on the planet, Beatrice Davis of Sassy Bee Worldwide Productions. And her website is sassybeeworldwide.com. You got to go check it out. I'm telling you, she's one of the best PR reps I've ever worked with. She's fantastic. Now, we want you to go to Dan LaPrey's sites. It is number7entertainment.com. He's on imdb.com as his name, Dan LaPrey, L-A-P-R-A-Y. Instagram, he's following there you go. He has branded IMDb Dan LaPrey, of course, Instagram Dan LaPrey, and Facebook Dan LaPrey. He's got it down. He's already halfway there. So without further ado, let's find out what's going on. Welcome, Mr. Dan LaPrey.
Hey, thank you very much. Very, very nice to be on. Very excited to kind of chat with you and hear what you have to say and kind of maybe try and give back a little bit if I can.
Yeah, well, we're more interested in what you have to say. We hear me every week. We want to know what's going on with you. So let's start out with, first of all, again, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. I understand. We're going to do a little bit of the backstory first. So you're from Idaho Falls, Idaho. You're my first guest ever in 14 years from Idaho. Wow.
What?
Yes. I'm like, where are the people in Idaho? They're not here in LA because I've never had anyone from Idaho here. My entertainment attorney is from Idaho, Idaho Falls, as a matter of fact. I remember that. And I thought, well, you know, you're an entertainment attorney. You have all these huge celebrities. Come on my show. He said, I can't come on my show and talk about my clients. And I'm like, damn, Ken, why? All right. So we have to hear the backstory, starting with your journey from Idaho. So when you were a little boy, did you immediately know that you wanted to work in the entertainment industry, I guess? And if so, what profession were you thinking about?
Yeah, that's wacky. Because in Idaho, there are a lot of potatoes. I don't fit the exact stereotype because I live close to potato farms, but I didn't get out of school to do harvesting like people in neighboring
cities
did.
Never harvested a potato? Now that's not right, Dad. You got to harvest.
I have. I just didn't get out of school to do it.
Okay.
There's actually a couple of high schools that literally for a couple of weeks out of the year, they get out to go and harvest as part of their curriculum.
What? Are you kidding me?
No, it's awesome. Fantastic, right?
I love it. All right. So you weren't harvesting any damn potatoes. What were you doing as a little boy if you weren't harvesting?
I was eating.
Were you a child of the corn?
That stuff always scared the crap out of me. I tried to stay away from that. But no, there's not a lot of people from Idaho that are dumb enough to go into the entertainment industry. I guess I'm just one of them that was crazy enough. You know, you got to be a little bit, have a few screws loose to decide to be one of us kind of creatives, I guess, right?
Well, when you were little, you weren't one of those kids that used to, you know, bug your parents and say, I want to be an actor when I grow up. I want to be a comedian. I want to be a director. You weren't doing any of that. What were you?
My father was an educator, very smart. He had a doctorate degree. He was really good at his job, but very different than me. I love sports, but in my heart of hearts, which I never really shared with anyone, although I had the dreams from very early on, like 5 years old, I always wanted to be a musician, a rock star. That was my passion. That was my goal. I just loved music. And so that's kind of where I was for a long time.
Yeah, because I heard that you were, I heard you were really passionate about music because at an early age, I think you realized that the power that music wields to seal in the emotional impact of a film experience.
And exactly.
I think that you began writing songs when you were 18, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I just didn't figure the whole film thing out, although I loved movies. You know, I remember going to the theater to watch Top Gun in 1986. I was probably like 11 years old, and it was just awesome. So I always loved to watch films, but I grew up in Idaho. I didn't know that that was possible, that I, it never even crossed my mind that I could be involved with films. But I love to watch old films. I watched old Danny Kaye black and white films and all the Fred Astaire things and Elvis movies and whatever. So, I mean, my parents were kind of well-rounded that way. So I always watched old black and white shows, and I just always loved film, but I just, it never crossed my mind that there was a possibility that I could be involved with that as a career.
Wow. So when you were 18 and you were writing these songs, did at 18, did you think, you know, what, maybe I could pursue a career in music as a film score or a film composer, or even at 18, you weren't thinking about it?
Nope, didn't know. I just knew that I wanted to be involved with music. And so I ended up moving out of the house and going to college and really kind of started targeting music. But my mom would, you know, I always had these words in my head from her, which is, don't you dare major in music. And I was like,
Not while I'm paying for it, son.
I'm like, I don't know how to rectify that. What does that mean? Come to find out years later, she thought I had more potential than being a junior high or a high school band teacher. So right. She just didn't want me to be a band teacher. That was never my goal. I always wanted to be like Sting or Bono, you know, I wanted to be a rock star. That was my, that was my goal.
Did you start playing in any bands? Like, you know, how?
Yeah. Yeah. I started a band in college. Yeah. We started a band. We kind of put out an album, and as we were there, my buddy and I wrote a song called Sunlight in the Rain. And this will date me because
well, we already know you were born in 76. We already know because you already said you saw Top Gun in 85 and you were about 11. So I've already calculated you were born in 75 or 76, right?
74, so August of 74. That's
74,
it.
Okay. All right. So wait, now,
while
buddy.
I'm in college, right? And Donnie and Marie had revamped their show.
Oh my God.
So the first show they were in, obviously I saw when I was a very little boy, but then they came out with their new show in LA, and this was in 95, 96.
Yeah. Yes.
And they were super successful, and online was just not really big at that time, but they held the first online music competition. And they asked for all of their listeners, and obviously they were doing their show from LA right there, but they asked for all their listeners to submit a variety skit of some kind or another online, and that they would put the top 10 on their website for people to vote on. So my buddy and I went and got a camera from the broadcast department, and we played our song live right there in our little room, and it took like 2 days, and we got a call from their producer saying, this is amazing, guys. You're going on our website as one of our top 10. We're like, what?
Are you kidding me?
So, no, it was crazy. It was the first that I know of, the first online music competition. Maybe I'm lying, but I'm going to say it's true.
Well, you know,
nobody knows. Go back and check.
95, I don't think I was even aware of things online, but Albert and I, my husband and I, are obsessed with Donnie and Marie. Like, you have no idea how we love these two. Of course, Albert was in love with Marie, and I was a Donnie fan. I cried for a month when he got married. And so we went to see their show at the Pantages. And let me tell you, I don't know if you've ever seen Donnie. We saw Donnie, Marie. Oh, no, Marie was there too. We saw both of them. Oh, my God, Dan. They both sang rock, blues, jazz, country. And Marie did a song from M. Butterfly She got a 5-minute standing ovation. So I'm telling you, we are obsessed. So as soon as you said Donnie and Marie, I'm locked. I'm locked and loaded, ready to tell my story. He's playing at Harris now.
He's overcome so much. They're pretty amazing people for sure. Oh, they're icons. They're professionals. Legends.
They, Dan, those are what you call extreme professionals. They don't drink. They don't smoke. They don't do drugs. They don't need it. And they are professional. I have had friends that have worked with them, and they said, you don't know how seriously they take their performances, and they love their fans. So you are, I would not, Donnie is such, so when you say that the very first contest online, I believe it. I am going to look that up. As a matter of fact, I'm going to call my friend who's worked with Donnie Osmond in Vegas, and I'm going to ask her, she can ask him if that's true. Of course he won't know, so, right?
You so want you the rest of the story?
Yeah.
So we're the top 10, right? Now people actually vote. You got to send out as much information as you can to all your fans and say, you got to go vote for me on this website. Back then it was like some people didn't even know how to get on the website, right? So we went through this whole process. I don't know how long it was, a week or 10 days or 2 weeks that they did the voting. And at the end, we were number one. So
what?
There was out of the top three went to Donnie and Marie as a, okay, guys, here's the top three. And then they got to choose out of those top three which ones came on their show that Dick Clark produced to perform their talent.
And
so that was very exciting. And we ended number
so you
one.
Got
so
to
we
go. Got,
you got to go. You know what? Here's where, you know, we got this thing, a little mug in the mail. We got this cool little whatever. But you got to understand my circumstances. I was attending Brigham Young University at the time, which is in Provo, Utah, where Donnie and Marie had their original show.
Mm-hmm.
And how would it have looked had they picked the two kids from Provo, Utah to come to LA to be on their show? So I gotta say, they didn't choose us because we weren't good. They chose us because they didn't feel like that would have been fair. We
got
to call Donnie right now. Let's get him on the phone. Let's find out if he remembers and be like, why didn't you choose these? We were so good. Our song was amazing, Donnie. You picked some couple from Kentucky or something where she played the violin and he did some kind of variety thing. And they were great, but they weren't as good as we were, you know? So anyway, there you go. That's my Donnie and Marie story.
Oh my God, that's the best story ever. I'm serious. I'm going to have my friend follow up and find out really if they remember, because sometimes, you know, Donnie, most likely it would be his people handling this, but I don't know with him being that extreme professional that he wouldn't have a final say, but it could be that it was his people who made that decision for that exact reason of not wanting that. So let's just say it wasn't Donnie. It didn't.
But you know what? I mean, I'm from Idaho. My riding partner was from California. We were just living in Provo, so we felt like we got the raw end of the stick, but we understand the whole politics of the game.
I'm getting to the bottom of it eventually. I'll let you know. I'll get back to you on it. So anyway, I understand that you were at some point, I guess, I don't know if it was immediately after college or during college, but you were the director of production for a national television station where it said that you produced the station's identity and helped to build the network from the ground up. So my question is, and the reason I'm asking about this is because I always recommend to people that they start out, if they're not in LA or New York where they have direct access, to start out working at public broadcasting stations. I used to produce a show at a PBS station. It used to be called Delphia Cable, and then it was bought by Warner Cable. But I always recommend that because that is where you can get a lot of experience to be a producer, a director, or a person of the crew. So what are your thoughts on that?
So that's my next chapter, right? I went to the university and I, loved music. I knew that. I had a little band. But then I ended up needing to get a job on campus to kind of sustain life and pay for books and whatever. And so I applied for this engineering position. Well, it happened to actually be a position at Master Control as a tape operator at the public television station owned by the university. So I ended up taking that job. And my job was literally to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and to route the satellite signal from wherever it was being sent from and record the programs on 1-inch tape, on digital tape. And it was Barney and Sesame Street and whatever, you know, Reading Rainbow. But I had to learn about color bars and tone and what those things meant. And somehow I just got pricked and had a revelation, like, wait a second, this is pretty cool stuff. Not, I mean, I didn't love watching Barney or Lamb Chops play along or whatever it was. But the whole thing of this signal and this TV thing, that's when I first had that realization that music and film, which I had grown up loving, just not knowing that I could actually do it, it became this marriage for me where I was like, wow, I can really affect people. I can make something out of nothing that someone can watch and it can help change their life. And I'm going to do that by the music because that's what seals it in. You know, and I remember being in the theaters or else watching these shows later on. It was a little, you know, 1974 was when I was born, when Rocky won the best picture, you know. But all you have to hear is dun 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 dun, and you're inspired. It's an immediate response. You know where you were when you watched that movie, and you know the feeling you felt that even being somebody that maybe wasn't born into money or born into whatever, that you can be an underdog and that you can accomplish and do something amazing. And Sylvester Stallone's story is a really great example of that. Mm-hmm. And so it's the music that he got to be a part of that really made Rocky effective and played even through Creed II. All of a sudden, they're revamping this Russian theme, you know, and then the music comes in and it just seals the whole deal. It just makes you feel that feeling all over again. You can overcome. You can do hard things. You can, you know, beat the bad guys, so to speak. So that's kind of what brought me to this whole journey.
Yeah, a lot of people who are not in the entertainment industry, a lot of people don't even notice that music is a driving force in film and television. And when I point it out to them, they say, oh, I didn't even think about that. Oh, I didn't even hear the music. And I think, how could you not hear the music? Sometimes I watch shows on, I'm not going to say the station, but I watch these shows and the mixing is so bad. And it's a national network, a very famous network. Yeah. And they allow these movies to be on there where the voice is either so loud you can't hear the music, or the music is so loud the mixing is terrible. And that is when, unfortunately, people who aren't in the entertainment industry, they'll notice it. But I said, if you don't notice the music, then they did an excellent job and they should win an Oscar, because it's a driving force. If you're crying at the end, yes, it's the actors, but I guarantee you it's that music too. So there you go.
If you haven't seen Top Gun Maverick, get your butts to the theaters.
Oh my God. Well, I know my husband has not seen the original. I couldn't believe it, but he did not see it. No, I know. Well, you know, he was into computers. He's a software developer.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He was into, you know, he couldn't care less about film. He didn't even go. Star Wars and Star Trek, those are his life. That's it. So nice. He knows the music for that. But so I told him, let's see the first one, and then we want to go to the theater to see the one that's coming out.
You gotta see it in the theater. You have to.
Is it out yet? Oh my gosh, is it out already? The new one?
It's out. Yeah, it's already made $550 million worldwide.
Oh, so wow.
You're late to the game, but the Danger Zone theme. It's awesome how they use that.
Oh, what? Well, we want
to bring you back to the beginning. It's so good, man. That is a class. I mean, seriously, if it doesn't win,
it's best
cinematography, then there's something wrong with the Academy.
Yeah. Well,
I hope you're listening right now, Academy.
Yes, Academy.
Best cinematography. Best cinematography. And Tom Cruise is fantastic.
Yes.
the whole cast, like Miles Teller, man, it's great. So that's a great, great film. There's no political agendas. There's no craziness. It's just a piece of entertainment that makes you feel like, again, you can do something hard, you can overcome, and you can be a champion if you put in the work and the effort and you want to do it. I love it.
Oh, well, we're going to go see that for sure. Now, so one of the projects that we want to talk about is your is the film that you made, Just Let Go. And again, I have to say it's starring Emmy Award nominee Henry Ian. Is it Ian or Ian? Ian, I think.
Ian.
You said Ian, Ian, yeah. From the hit shows MacGyver, The 100, The Scandal, Lost, and Brenda Vaccaro. Now, first, I went on IMDb, and I see that it's listed as coming out in 2015. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's been out for a while. So we're actually doing some interesting things where we're going to re-release it as a new title because we don't think it got the life that it deserved. So we're actually just revamping it and calling it Another Chance, which is funny because it's another chance for us to be able to show it and for people to be able to see it. We feel like our filmmaking skills have gotten a little better. We get to the point a little quicker. And we don't think it had the life that it deserves because it's really a film, you know, it's a little bit hard though. Do you want me to just go into it or do you have a question first?
Well, I haven't seen the film yet and I wanted to get this out first, but now that I'm aware of the film, I'm definitely going to watch it, but where can we go to watch it now, or is it not on, I was going to say Netflix, Prime Video, or have you pulled it and you're, once you're putting
it
back
we're
on?
In the process. We will be probably taking it down soon, but you can go on iTunes right now. It's on Amazon Prime as Just Let Go. And there's a reason why we called it that. It was originally from a, you know, the called Let It Go, but right then Frozen came out at the same time and we're like, ah, crap. Disney has hijacked us, so we needed to change the title. So we ended up calling it Just Let Go. It's a film about a man's journey with forgiveness, and so it's heavy content, but we feel like it really means something, and that it's got a message that everybody needs to hear.
Well, what is, just give us the log line. What is it about?
See, that's the worst part, because like when you when you're word of mouth marketing and you're telling people, hey, you got to go watch this film. You're like, yeah, what's it about? And you're like, it's about this guy and he has to climb this mountain by himself. And once he does, he gets enlightened and then he jumps from the mountain and he flies down and he saves all the people and everybody lives happily ever after. People are like, oh, that sounds great.
Yeah,
well,
that's what I want.
Yeah, and ours is Just Let Go. What's it about? Mom, you got to go watch this movie. Oh, what's it about? Well, it's about this guy and his family is killed by a drunk driver. And he has to decide whether or not to forgive the 17-year-old that killed his family. They're like, nope, I don't want to see that. I'm out.
Oh, my God, that's so weird. You know why? Because I produced a film a long time ago that came out, oh, was it 2015, that had a very similar, like almost identical theme, except it was a woman whose husband was killed by a drunk driver. So it's almost identical. Wow. Okay. So how are you revamping it? So you're going to pull it from the performance platforms and you're, what are you doing different that you're going to revamp it and put it back out?
Well, we're actually just getting to the point a little bit earlier. Like I said, we feel like our storytelling skills have gotten a little better and we're trying to make it even more generalized. I mean, this man had his own experience with forgiveness, right? And his own journey, which is awesome. But it's not like everybody else's. And we didn't want to make it specific to any kind of religion. So back in 2015, we actually were part of the World Religion Organization that came to Salt Lake City at the same time. And we did a little film festival there and we got their award. So people of multiple faiths have watched this film because Christianity doesn't have a corner on forgiveness. That's something that most people believe in, that it's an important thing. And we actually partnered with Stanford University too, a professor named Fred Luskin, who's the world's premier professional, or what do you call him, like an expert on what the forgiveness does to your body from a physiological standpoint, not a spiritual standpoint at all, but how it affects the chemical makeup and the physiology of your body. And he studies that at Stanford. So we had him come out. We partnered with the Desmond Tutu Foundation, which is the forgiveness challenge group. They wrote a 1-week forgiveness challenge for us. We had a huge premiere where we kind of had this discussion with Delilah from the radio. So we had a pretty awesome premiere where we released this through Fathom Events and just had this big event where we talked about forgiveness as a theme and how we needed it as humans in order to be happy and successful and to move on. And when you don't forgive, you actually harbor these ill feelings. It changes the physiology of your body, the chemical makeup, and makes things worse for you. So
I think
it was a pretty crazy experience for us to make the film, trying to make it a hopeful thing where people can understand that if you harbor these ill feelings, no matter what it is, that it's not going to help your life. And unfortunately, I think there's a lot of hate going on in the world right now where people are dividing themselves and deciding not to talk to somebody anymore because they have a different political view or a different view on this or that or whatever. And that's not healthy.
It's not.
It takes us apart as humans, as a human race. And really, we need to be able to still cherish a friendship, even if we don't have the same political views, or if we don't have the same religious beliefs, or if we don't have the same thoughts about whether or not we like hamburgers or tacos better. Like, we really want to ruin a relationship because
it's crazy
of petty things.
So have you heard about I experienced this personally, where there was a producer that posted on her Facebook page. She said, if I find out anybody that I've worked with or will possibly work with in the future is a, I won't say which political
party.
What is it? Party. Yeah. Thank you. But I will blacklist you and you will never work in this town again. And she posted that on Facebook. I was so shocked. And I thought, oh my God, that's so terrible. What are we in the McCarthy era again? What is going on? But it's just insane. And now, unfortunately, screenwriters, I know you've noticed this, but things are being written into some of our favorite shows now that are making young people lean towards one direction or another direction. And I know that it's been like this since the beginning of time, but they're just too hardcore about it now, because now it's parting races, you know, it's pitting.
Well,
one
everything
race
is so, so polarized where it's like, I just can't believe in any of it anymore. I'm a constitutionalist. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, because I think that everybody is going so far wacky that we need people to stand in the center and go, look, we can work on this together no matter what. And I don't want to turn this into a political agenda, whatever, but it's like, you know, it's really become so weird that it's actually tearing our country apart. That's why I love this film, this Top Gun film so much, because it doesn't have any of that agenda in it. It's just about being a real American and a hero and being able to work with people that, you know, I mean, there's conflict in the teams that are being chosen and everything. And it's like, at the end, they resolve it, they work together. And I'm not going to tell you who dies or who doesn't die or whatever, but
don't,
you know,
tell me. I want to see it. I hope Tom doesn't die. Well, real quick, because I want to make sure we get in a couple more questions, because the show ends at 5:50. So, real quick, Henry Ian Cusick, my husband and I feel he's such a diverse, just an intense actor. He really, really gets engrossed in his scenes. And I think, oh my God, I love this man. And I couldn't believe that you had an opportunity to work with him. So, wow. And I want to know how did you lock this actor to star in your film? What was the relationship before you starred in your film?
First of all, Ian, if you're listening, I love you, brother. You're amazing. This guy is a consummate professional. One of the best. He is so serious. He carries this film on his shoulders, and he took it every day as serious as anybody would. I cannot believe the amount of professionalism that he applies. Same with Brenda Vaccaro. She did her research on this woman. They both played real life characters, and that's a hard thing to do. And, you know, I haven't talked to Ian about this for a little while, but he believes this is his best performance. And I just applaud him. He carries this film on his shoulders, and he plays a very difficult role. And he does it with perfection. And so just so happy. We didn't know him at all. And it was the script that drew him in. He had had a similar kind of experience where he was directing a short film. And I brought on a casting director from New York named Adrian Stern. Adrian, I know you're in New York not listening, but if you were, I love you also. She's amazing. Just a fantastic New Yorker that doesn't take any crap and just gets stuff done. And she loved this script, and she believed in it, and she worked really hard to get it to the right people. And Ian Cusack wasn't really on our list, but she made him be on our list, and he responded to the content. So that's what locked him in. And
wow.
We were so lucky, so blessed.
Yeah, because he is one of those actors. Again, this is in my opinion. He's one of those actors, and I know you know what I'm talking about. Not all actors have a sixth sense about accepting roles on what will become hit shows. And I feel that he definitely has that ability because, you know, a lot of actors, it's like, oh, it's work. I'll just take whatever comes my way. But from watching him in so many hit shows, I think he really reads the script, and I think he says, this has potential, and I can develop my character. Because when you watch him in MacGyver, The 100, Scandal, Lost, you see that his character, and I don't know if he has a say in whether his character really grows and develops, but I feel that in the shows that we watched him in, that's what happens. And I think he has the foresight to pick that. So for him to have picked your film, I feel it was a really great honor. And it goes to, you know, the script writer, I would imagine, because that's what he saw first, you know, the script.
Yeah.
And so, That's fantastic. So now I have to see it just based on that, because I know he picks winners. If he read the script and he decided to be in it, that tells me everything I need to know. And
And he takes it seriously. He makes sure that he knows how the character needs to develop, and he works on every scene. He is nothing but business, and it shows.
You can tell have you ever seen actors where you're watching them and you can see in their eyes, they're just waiting for their line. They can't wait until you finish your line. Well, he is not like that. He is engrossed. It's like he's there. He is the character that he's supposed to be. It's almost like you're in the scene with him. I'm telling you, he's you got Dustin Hoffman and you've got Robert De Niro. Well, you know, I think Henry Ian Cusack needs to be up there. That's what I think.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's move on.
Good.
I don't want to, because he's that good, and he's a gorgeous man, just a beautiful man. So he's got the movie star looks, right? He's got the talent.
Yeah.
Come on now. But you know what? I don't know if you know this, but do you know how he got started? I mean, forget the theater and blah, 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 blah. What I found fascinating when I was doing the research on him is that he won the role on Lost in 2004 because he was staying at the home of his friend Brian Cox, and he met Cox's next door neighbor, who just happened to be Carlton Cuse, the executive producer of Lost. So that's how he was introduced, and so that, I guess, planted a seed, and they had been looking for either a Scottish or an Irish actor. So he literally sent his audition on a CD. A CD to Carlton Cuse. So I thought that was a little bit of trivia I thought was fantastic. Let's move on to Brenda Vaccaro real quick. Love this lady. First saw her in The Midnight Cowboy, starring Dustin Hoffman and John Voight. She played the character Shirley. I'm telling you, they are, as we know, bigger than life actors, right, Dan? But she held her own in that movie. Did she not?
She
I don't
is,
know if you remember
that.
She is a
firecracker.
Whoa. So how was she to work with?
Oh, Brenda is fantastic and all business, super serious too. She does not mess around. She makes sure she does her research. Wow. These are real actors. We knew this story had the gravity to need serious actors that knew what they were doing. We couldn't hire part-time, we couldn't hire waitresses that were actresses or you know, burger flippers that happened to be able to say some lines. We had to get the real deal. So we were so blessed with Adrienne Stern to be able to connect us with these people.
Oh, she got her too. Adrienne Stern got her in the car. I'm going to have to reach out to Adrienne Stern myself. She gets all the best actors. Did you say she's a casting director or she's a manager?
She is. She's a casting director from New York City out of New York. She's great.
Oh my God. So another person that was in your movie that I was so impressed with her. Okay. Her name, for those of you who may recognize the last name, Sam Sorbo. She plays the district attorney in your movie, I think. Mm-hmm. And most people might be able to figure out that her last name of Sorbo kind of tells you there might be a relationship between her and Kevin Sorbo. And that's because there is. Sam is Kevin Sorbo's wife. And for those who don't know, she also co-starred as the character Serena alongside her husband, Kevin Sorbo, in Hercules. I think it was Hercules, The Legendary Journeys. But my husband and I, again, we were obsessed with that show. Oh, my God. We loved Kevin Sorbo. And I actually thought that he really rocked the Casbah, Dan, with that role because he gave that larger-than-life character of Hercules so many believable, personable, just human and godlike traits. Did you watch the show?
Yeah.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. And just for your audience's information, another very serious actor that is very serious about his craft. And he has that same quality. He can carry shows and he cares about his characters. And Sam is the same way. Wow, she is a firecracker just as big as Brenda Vaccaro. She is very passionate. She's a writer. She takes everything very seriously. And man, we loved having her because of her ability to really not back down to anything. And the Sorbos are fantastic people. And Kevin embodies Hercules because he doesn't back down to anybody. And he doesn't care about what other people think. And he'll fight battles if he has a belief in it. So
man,
a couple of really good people that really want to do good in the world. So I have nothing but love and admiration for them also. We were so lucky on this film.
I gotta get Kevin Sorbo on my show because I thought to myself when I saw Sam Sorbo, I thought, oh, maybe I could get Kevin and Sam to come on the show. That would be great because I wanted to talk about, I don't know if he'd want to talk about Hercules, but we just loved that show so much. I thought, oh God, we gotta have him talk about. So I know he's friends with B, your PR person. So I think she had recommended him to come on my show a long time ago and gave me a cell number, but my assistant never followed up on it. So I think that's what I'm going to do. All right.
And he is always so busy. They're very busy, always doing a lot of stuff. So a lot of good stuff going on.
I haven't seen Kevin Sorbo in anything, but I'm sure he's doing a bunch of stuff, but I haven't seen him on any other shows like Hercules, that sort of god, demigod type show. Like for some reason, I was expecting him to pop up in Vikings. You know, the show. I was like, where's Kevin Sorbo? He belongs in Vikings, right? He would have been amazing. And my friend, she directed a couple episodes of Vikings. And it was after the final season of Vikings, I thought, oh my God, I should have told her to recommend Kevin Sorbo. We talked about that. And so anyway, that's another story. So
yeah, he's actually directing now too.
Is he?
So, yeah. He's doing a lot of stuff. So he'd be a great one.
I gotta get him. All right. So let's finish this up with let's talk about your latest project called Absolution. And first, what stage of production is it right now?
So we're just in kind of a pre-production mode right now where we're trying to find the right partner. So Absolution is a film that I think is so needed in today's society, kind of what we were talking about before. It's a real peek into mental health and what it can do to you, and also, you know, if you can overcome it. So the basic premise is our main character, Alex, is working a dead-end job. He works at night and is losing touch with reality when he ends up finding out that dead people start showing up in his apartment. But he's not doing it, right? So then the situation untangles, and you go through this crazy amount of back and forth. And at the end, everything unravels into a situation where you understand the mental state that he's in and what's going on. So it's kind of a peek into people's lives and how we never know if the person next to us is really doing okay or not. And are we the kind of person that's willing to check on them? And how can we help people to overcome struggles? So
I do that all the time. My husband says, when will you leave people alone? If they wanted to talk, they talk. I have to text people, Dan, all the time. How are you? Are you doing okay? Is there anything I can do? Do you need anything? And my husband's like, you sound like a nut. I said, well, I'm sorry. That's the way I was raised. I'm from the East Coast. And people on the East Coast, we go out of our way to make sure people are okay. That's just how I am. So, awesome. This is in the pre-production stage. So right now I assume you're looking for investors and that you're listening. Yep. That's what that means when you're in the pre-production stage. And how's that going? How do you choose to do your search looking for investors? I mean, old school used to be, oh, let me just post it on, what was those two websites that you could get money from?
Indiegogo.
But people don't do that anymore. But what are they doing now? How are you getting your investors?
Well, this one, because of my experience in building a television network that was on Dish Network from the ground up, we were the charity channel. So we were 24/7 charitable content. I learned some things. And so this film, we're actually looking for a 501c3 partner, because there are ways to fund films through nonprofits. It's called fiscal sponsorship. So we're looking for the right 501c3 partner that wants to bring mental health awareness to the forefront. And also, we put this character as a veteran. So I personally am grateful for the freedoms that we all have, and we owe that to our veterans, the people that have been willing to sacrifice their lives, their time, to make sure that we're a free nation. And so this character happens to have been in a war, and it's part of his PTSD that he's going through this thing. So we really want to, you know, we have some commitments from iHeartRadio to help us. So we're looking for the right 501c3 partner that wants to bring mental illness and health to the forefront, something that we can talk about, something that we can publicize, something that we can help people to decide that, okay, maybe I should be willing to talk to my friend about this. Because a lot of people are hiding their sadness, their depression, their PTSD, whatever kind of mental health problems that they have, and not letting anyone know about it. And that is the worst thing you can do, because when you bottle that up, eventually it explodes. So we have lots of problems in our world today, and you can blame it on Republicans, you can blame it on Democrats, you can blame it on guns if you want. But the reality is, it's the stability and the health of people mentally, which allows us to either decide to care about each other or to separate each other and to make a bunch of enemies. And I think we need to be more ready to stop making enemies and start trying to understand people, even if it's difficult. We need to keep that fight up. We need to be able to know that it's okay if we're not okay.
Absolutely.
But what's not okay is not telling people about it.
That's right.
Because we can stop a lot of problems if we can talk about it, if we can bring it out, and we can have a discussion about it and not make it taboo.
Yeah. All right, but there's not one person person on a planet doesn't have something wrong, and it's perfectly normal to feel a little sad, a little depressed once in a while, or even if it's all the time, you just can't feel embarrassed about it. But saying it and doing it are two different things. So I love that more movies are coming out, more television shows are incorporating this particular theme. And I like at the end how they give the website and the phone number. So kudos to them.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, oh my God, do you know that our time has come to an end? We didn't even get to talk to you about your new reality television show, your home renovation show. So we're going to have to bring you back on. I know. We just talk so much. But contact me privately, because I often invest in people with films that I think have true value. So I wouldn't mind investing some money for you. So shoot me a text. All right. So you are developing, real quick, a new reality show that's a home renovation show that includes a charitable component. I would imagine that's on your website. So let me give that out to everyone. Please go and check that out on Dan's website. His websites are number7entertainment.com, number7entertainment.com, imdb.com. He's at Dan LaPrey on Instagram and Dan LaPrey on Facebook. So I want to thank you so much, Mr. Dan LaPrey. It's been so much fun talking to you. You are a great guest, a great great guest. So thank you.
Thank you, Priscilla. It's been my pleasure.
Then you say goodbye to your fans.
All right, everyone. Take care, and we'll see you out there in the ether somewhere.
Bye, everyone. We'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.